I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're at the intersection tonight of the finite and the infinite. We're at the bottom of the ladder tonight. And there are angels ascending and descending on this place. We are the people of the Most High God. And tonight, we're building up a house that was built long, long, long ago. The old song says it wasn't in a great cathedral that the Spirit of God chose to fall. It wasn't in a royal palace or in a governor's hall, but it was in a little upper room on the wrong side of town. Has anybody ever had a move of God in your life like that? Has anybody been in a little inconspicuous place with just a few little inconspicuous people? And then all of a sudden, the glory of God came down and changed you. Does anybody know that kind of a God? That's where we are tonight, at that intersection. And for everybody in this house tonight, the junction of the finite and the infinite is you. It's you. It's not your neighbor. It's not your daddy. It's not your mama. But it's you. It's me, oh God. I'm standing at the place where all my needs and all my trouble and all my pressure and all my pain and the divine intersect. Anybody have a need in the house? Anybody in the house want to hear from God? I'm hungry. Adrian, I feel the same way wherever you are. I came tonight with expectation. I am not content to stay where I am. I tell you what, our church is having a revival. Dad, we're teaching more Bible studies than we've ever taught. But I'm not content here. I don't want to be complacent. The word says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Give God a hand clap of praise if you're going to preach with the preacher tonight. We have somebody coming tonight to preach the Word of God. And I've got to tell you, I've had some wonderful moments in my life, but this is one of the proudest moments of my life. I asked the pastor if I could introduce Dawson. He came around 8 years ago. I don't know the exact time. But I was on a ladder in the other building. We hadn't built this sanctuary yet. And the pastor, Sister Sutton, said, he's going to need a friend. He's been through some stuff. And I remember the moment I turned and he came walking up the center aisle. He had on a do-rag. And I thought, you know, I was just straight-laced. just a little corny white kid. And I thought, my, this is going to be an interesting friendship. And it has been. It went beyond trying to help him get his feet back on the ground, but it really became a friendship. And we've talked, we've had more conversation than most men in this room and your wives. We have talked for hours and hours. He has had to adjust his phone plan so that I was one of his buddies, so he didn't go over his budget. And I've had to do a lot of the same. But I really am. This is really one of the best days of my life because he has felt a call of God, and I have also to formal ministry, and here we go. This is the next generation. Is anybody excited about that? Is anybody just absolutely thrilled with what God is doing with the next generation in this church and the work that the pastor has put into us? Dawson, from the bottom of my heart, I love you, and I'm so proud to tell you, come and preach to me.
I wasn't going to get emotional. I wasn't going to do pleasantries. But if you would give me just 1 second, I have some personal business to take care of. If you just give me 1 second. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. I still believe it. I still believe it just like you taught it to me. I still believe it just like you said it was. What you put in me, I still believe it. I still believe it. I'm not going to keep you very long tonight. I don't have a beautiful sermon, but I have a word. I've got a word to deliver. And I wish I could preach the way I need to preach. I'm just going to give you the word. That's all I got. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I'm going to just for a few minutes, I'm going to deliver a word. I'm going to deliver a war cry. It's going to be a war cry tonight. That's what you're going to hear. A war cry. That's all I got. I got a war cry. God, we give you glory and honor and praise, Jesus. Bless this word, oh God. Let it do what you want it to do, Lord. Accomplish your perfect will and purpose in this service, oh God. Amen. You may be seated. You may stand. I'm going to come hard and quick. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. It was wartime, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. David should have been at war. David wasn't a stranger to war. David knew what the sword felt like in his hand. David wasn't afraid of battle. But yet it was time for war, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. If they had been knocking on the palace door, if the enemy had been knocking on the palace door, David would have been the first guy out, swinging the sword, taking them out. If they had been knocking on the gates of Jerusalem, David would have been the first guy busting through the gates to take care of business. What's going on, David? It's time for war, and you're still in Jerusalem. You see, it wasn't personal at that moment. That's the story of Israel. When they're under attack, when their back's against the wall, when it's do or die, they serve God. They pray, but it's got to be death pressure on them to move them in the right direction. But the minute the pressure lets up, the minute they get a little release, the minute things start going okay, they turn their heart away from God. Well, in this particular instance, the battle's not going on in David's backyard. The battle's the children of Ammon. It's a ways away. And David says, you know what? I'll let Joab and the boys go. I'll let Joab and the fellas take care of this. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to relax just a little bit. It's time for war. The king's going to kick back and relax. If we're not careful, into the church can creep a little idea. See, the weapons of our warfare, it's not bombs and guns, but worship is the way that the battle is won. This is not the time to sit back and say, well, I'll let the young people handle the worship. I've put my time in. I've killed my giant. I've killed a few Philistines. I'll just relax. I'll let the young people handle it. It's not the time to kick back and say, well, you know, poor brother Steve, he's really struggling. We'll let him worship. You know what? My marriage is okay. I think I'll relax tonight. I got a little money in my pocket. I think I'll relax tonight. No, no, no. It's a war cry. It's a war cry. Every man, woman, and child needs to fill their hand with the sword and show up for battle. Every morning when you wake up, it's a war. Let me tell you what happened to David. David thought the battle's going on over there with Ammon. My enemy's over there. I'm going to relax for a minute. So he strolls up on the rooftop. David didn't realize that his greatest enemy was wearing a kingly robe and walking along with him. David didn't realize that the sneakiest assassin after his soul was in his own flesh. David didn't realize that the thing that could kill him was him. He thought, if I'm not in the middle of a tumultuous battle with the devil or with the Philistines, I'm not in a war. No, no. Every morning when you wake up, your feet hit the floor, it's a war cry. Every morning when you roll out of bed, it's a battle. It's a war. It's hair, teeth, and eyeballs. So David said, I'm going to relax a little bit. And he strolls up onto the roof. Where you go dictates what you see. What you see dictates what you want or desire. What you desire dictates what you do. So what you do, you can trace that all the way back to where you are. And if it's time for battle, you need to be in the war. You don't need to be relaxing on the roof, David. For 3 or 4 days now, in my spirit, I've been hearing the same thing. Get off the roof, David. Get off the roof, David. You're watching Bathsheba. You're not sinning yet. And I know what you think. You think, well, I've killed a giant. I've killed a lion. I can handle this. And I'm not touching it yet. I'm just looking. But it's time for battle, David. It's time for battle, David. Where's your head? Where's your eyes? Where's your focus? Somebody needs to hear tonight. Get off the roof. Get off the roof, David. I know you're just looking, but you see it's temptation. And when you hang around temptation too long, it turns into lust. And then lust conceives sin. And sin brings death. The very thing that was born of that relationship with Bathsheba had to die. God said the baby's got to die. And David fasted and he prayed and he laid on his face and God said, no, it's got to die. And then, trying to cover up what he had done, someone else had to die. Innocent man, innocent husband, doing right and doing good, had to die. I wish I could preach you off the roof tonight, David. There's at least 3 in here I know. You're standing on the roof and you're looking. Get off the roof, David. Get off the roof. And I wish I could preach you off the roof. I don't have the craft and the skill, but I can tell you I've been in a house where Bathsheba came to visit, and nothing but death and destruction follow. It's time for battle. It's a war cry, David. Get off the roof. Goliath wasn't nothing. We saw how David handled an obstacle, a giant in his life. He put a stone between his eyes and he cut his head off. He said, all right. We saw how he handled relationships with authority and with people. When Saul oppressed him and did him wrong every which way, David said, I won't touch the hem of his garment. He remained pure and upright. We saw how he handled evil spirits. He worshiped them right out of the joint. He handled it all. He had a lot of success under his belt. But he never handled this, because you can't kill this. This is going to be here till the end. So when it's time to go to battle, David, get your eyes off Bathsheba. Get off the roof. It's time to go to war. You bring it into the church house. If you're sitting on the roof looking to see what you can see, it's hard for the long tongue of gossip to come tickle your ear if you're running the aisles. The gossip can't catch you if you're moving too quick. It's hard to stab your brother in the back if your hands are raised in praise and worship to God. He's not here, but I'm going to talk about Brother Dan for just a second. I can see it sliding up to Brother Dan. Did you see the way they were looking at you? Did you see what Brother Dan had to say? Well, no. You see, I was upside down most of the service, halfway through a flip. It's really hard to be distracted. It's really hard to be attracted to Bathsheba when you're moving and you're grooving, when you're in the middle of the battle, when you're in the middle of the war. You see, the devil's laying at your door with a little trap waiting to grab you when you walk out. But this is what you do. Sorry, devil, I'm on my way to teach a Bible study. I'll come back and talk to you later. Sorry, devil, I'm on my way to go bake a cake for some six folk. But I'll be back and we can deal with your temptation later. It's time for war, David. Get off the roof. Get your mind where it needs to be. Samson was called to be a deliverer of the people. He was a judge. Through the Nazarite vow, don't cut your hair, don't take anything from the vine, and don't touch a dead body. And God said, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from the Philistines. One of the most convoluted stories you've ever heard in your life. It's so confusing. Because Samson goes around and chases the Philistine women. God says, I'm going to use you to deliver your people from these oppressors. And Samson's romancing the oppressors. It doesn't make any kind of sense. But early on, we get a little picture of what is going on in Samson's head. He kills a lion. A couple of days later, he comes back and there's honey in the dead carcass. And he reaches in and he grabs out some honey. He eats a little, gives a little to his parents. Nothing wrong with eating honey. Nothing sinful about eating honey. But the honey was in a dead body, Samson. How close were you tiptoeing to losing your power for a little bit of taste of honey? How willing are you to dabble in some stuff? Come on, Samson. You got no business being anywhere near a dead lion. I don't care how much honey is in it. You can preach great sermons about God can bring sweetness out of your trouble. That's a good sermon. There's a lot of good in that. But if you step back and take an overview, Samson had no business being around that lion. He was reaching in and, well, I don't want to bump him. And he's playing with fire. In Judges chapter 14, he takes foxes. He ties them together by the tail. Either puts a stick in there and lights it on fire, or maybe lit their tails themselves on fire. I don't know. But the foxes obviously get extremely excited about the situation. And they go running through. And they burn down the crops. They burn down the corn. But they burnt down the vine and the olive. He's not supposed to be anywhere near the vine. How did he get the on-fire fox to burn down the vines? He was walking through the vineyard. Samson, what are you doing walking through the vineyard? First you play with a dead lion to get a little sweetness. And now because you're angry at the Philistines, you're going to walk through the vineyard. He's not sinning yet. But he's walking through the vineyard. You got no place in the vineyard, Samson. Get away. And then he hangs out with Delilah, who is not his first Philistine girlfriend. Again, he's hanging out with the folks that he's supposed to be killing to deliver his people from. And he's laying his head in the lap of Delilah. His thoughts, his imaginations, his thinking is in the lap of the world. It's in the lap of the Philistine influence. Samson, get your head out of the lap of the Philistines. What are you thinking? And he starts easy. She starts working on him. At first, maybe he didn't know what she was doing. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. So, Samson, where's your strength line? Tie me with cords. Okay. Maybe the first time he had no idea what was going on. But when he woke up, when she said, Samson, awake. The Philistines are on you. And he woke up and he was tied with cords. Ding, 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 ding. Doesn't take a genius to figure out what the chick is up to. But we're talking about Samson. We're talking about a guy who, for the little bit of sweetness, doesn't mind playing around the dead body. We're talking about a guy who's, when he's angry, he's not supposed to touch anything from the vine, but he doesn't mind sliding into the vineyard and lighting some foxes on fire. So he stays in the lap of the Philistine woman, and he plays, and he dabbles, and slowly but surely, he gets closer and closer and closer to the truth. Why? Her influence. He's got his thoughts. He's got his imaginations. He's got his thinking processes under the influence of the Philistines. His head's in the world. And one day, he slips up and he tells us the truth. And when he does, see, Samson got used to this. Samson got used to laying his head in the lap of the Philistine, doing whatever he wanted, goofing off, being stupid. Then when the danger and the trouble came, he shook himself. And when he shook himself, the power of God came on him. He danced with the world on Monday and Tuesday. But when times got rough, he hit the altar and he shook himself. And the power of God came on him. But one day he went a little far. And his outward appearance changed. And when his outward appearance changed, his inward power changed. And let me tell you what happened. Samson shook himself and nothing happened. He didn't just walk in one day and shake himself and nothing happened. He played with the dead body of the lion. He walked through the vineyard. He laid his head in the lap of the Philistines. It's a war cry. Samson, shake yourself. Shake yourself now while the power's there. Shake yourself now before it's too late. Come off the roof, David. It's a war cry. It's a time for action. It's no time to have your head and your thoughts in the lap of the Philistines. It's no time to be watching Bathsheba and see what she's doing. Every time you open up your mind to the influence of the world, you're laying your head in Bathsheba's lap. When you take their propaganda, their magazines, their movies, their material, and you let it in through your eyes, it goes into your imagination. And you say, oh, I'm just perusing a little magazine to see what my stars are up to. Your head's in Bathsheba's lap. I'm just doing a little research to see what the latest trend and style is. Wake up, Samson. Your head is in the lap of Delilah. Shake yourself. Shake yourself. Get off the roof. This isn't a message to a newbie. This isn't a message to the sinner. I'm preaching to the church tonight. I'm preaching to a saint that's got a few victories under your belt. You've slayed a few giants. You've killed a few Philistines. But it's time to focus. It's time to get your mind back in the game. The hour's short. The day's getting crazy. It's a war cry in the house. Come on, David. Get your eyes off the Bathsheba. Come on, Samson. Get your head out of the lap of the Philistine. It could be. It could be that you have been called to be the deliverer for your family, for your school, for your work. At the end of the game, Samson's blind, he's weak, and he's tied to a grindstone doing their work. He's tied to a Philistine grindstone. He's supposed to be the judge, the deliverer, delivering his people from these guys, and they got him chained up and he's pushing. It could be that you are the Samson to your family, to your work, to your school. Don't wake up blinded by the glitter of the world, weakened by compromise, chained to the same sin that the very people you're supposed to be delivering are chained to. Shake yourself, Samson. Shake yourself tonight. Don't wait too late and shake yourself when you're blind and you're weak. Keep looking at these notes, but I have no idea what I meant. Thank you. Genesis 24. Abraham thinks he's done his job. He's old. He's relaxed. He's got Isaac. That's the promised child. He's got everything set. He thinks, you know what? I've passed the torch. I've done my job. I'm all done. And he tells his servant in Genesis 24, he says, go and find me a wife for my son, because I don't want him to marry a Canaanite woman. It's not a good idea. He doesn't need to be marrying no Canaanites. And he knows, and he makes his servant swear, swear to me, you'll go to my homeland, find my boy a wife, bring him back. So they do it. In the whole chapter 24, the beautiful story, they find Rebecca at the well. Ooh, everything's wonderful. Everything's amazing. Chapter 25 opens with, and Abraham took unto himself a wife by the name of Keturah. Well, where was Abraham? Abraham was in Canaan. What was Keturah? Keturah was a Canaanite. Come on, Abe. If it's good for your boy, it's good for you. It's not time to hang up the mantle, elders. It's not time to say, well, you know what? The kids are grown. They can handle. I'll let a little influence into my life that I know is not good for the kids. But, you know, I'm a grown man now. I can handle it. Keturah bare him some sons. For Abraham, Keturah was never a problem. Abraham stayed saved, still had the promise of God. Everything was wonderful. But one of Keturah's boys was a young gentleman by the name of Midian, who was the father of the Midianites, who were the oppressors of Abraham's kids for generations to come. Abraham, what kind of influence are you going to let? This is a war cry. Abraham, keep the standard high. Keep the influence out. I know you, Mike, can handle it. It might not be an issue for you, but you got to remember those babies are still under your influence, and you can allow something in the door that will affect your children for generations and generations to come. Hold the standard high, Abraham. This is a war cry. It's not over. Just because you saw the birth of Isaac doesn't mean you've done your job. You wash your hands and you sit down. No, no. This isn't over till the Lord comes back or you go to meet him. Keep the standard high, Abraham. Keep it pure. Keep the influence out for the sake of your children. You might can handle it, but your babies might not be able to. Keturah's name means smoke from an altar. Keturah's name means, it means to fumigate. Smoke from an altar to fumigate. She was a Canaanite, so it was a strange altar. I'm getting off on another tangent, but Abraham had three women in his life that the Bible calls by name. He had children by many more women, but he had three that the Bible calls by name and tells you about. One of them is Sarah, who gives us Isaac. One of them is Hagar, who gives us Ishmael. And one of them is Keturah, who gives us Midian. The bloodline is the same. It's all coming from Abraham. But only one was the promise. And that was supposed to be Sarah. Ishmael's mom, her name means a stranger. You see, the bloodline came from the dad, but there was nurturing that came from the mom. And so you had the same bloodline, but you had different nurturing coming in each instance. Sarah's name was changed to Sarah, which meant my princess, or the princess of the people. Sarah was the mother from God. She was the church. Hagar was a stranger. Abraham bore a child and let a stranger from Egypt nourish it. And we got Ishmael. He birthed a promised child in Isaac, and the church nourished it. And we got salvation. We got hope. We got our future. We got everything we'd ever need. We got the blood. We got provision. But then he had Keturah, who means smoke from a strange altar to fumigate. And she gave him a Midian. A Midian that oppressed his kids for hundreds of years to come. Smoke from a strange altar that drove it. Fumigate means to drive out. It drove out the promise. It drove out the hope. It drove out the goodness. Who's rocking your baby, Abraham? Who's rocking your, what's the influence? Who's the nurture to your baby? Same bloodline, same daddy, different nurture. Who's rocking the baby? Abraham, keep the standard up. My elders, I appreciate you. Keep the standard up. Keep it where it's always been. Don't let it down. It's a war cry tonight. It's a war cry tonight. David, get off the roof. Get your eyes off Bathsheba and get off the roof. Samson, shake yourself. Shake yourself. Abraham, keep the standard high. Keep those influences out. It always flows down. It flows from the top down. Keep the influence high, elder. Keep the influence high, granddad. Mom, dad, keep the standard. Lindsay, help us out. I'm about to wrap this one up. Y'all can stand. 2 Samuel 23, 11 and 12. There's a troop of Philistines that are coming. And they get to a bean field. And in the bean field, there's a man named Shammah. And he kills a whole troop of Philistines. He risks his life for a field full of beans. You say, Shammah, what's the deal, dude? It's beans, brother. I mean, you might like your beans and all, but you and a whole troop of Philistines for a bean field? But Shammah understood something. See, it's the bean field today. Then it's the cornfield. Then after the cornfield, they're going to take my melons. Then after the melons, they're going to come. And eventually, it's my backyard. Then they're in my backyard, and then they're at my porch. And then they're in my living room, and it's my babies, and it's my children. And then it's my soul. You see, David said, well, it's not right on me. Go ahead, boys. Y'all go out there and you handle business. This is no pressure on me. I'm going to wait till it gets critical on me. And then maybe I'll fight a little bit. See, Shaman had understanding. It might be there today. But if we don't handle business there, tomorrow it's here. And then the next day it's here. And then the next day it's right in my life. The Holy Ghost says tonight, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're having revival. We're having good church. Let's not get comfortable. It's not time to kick back and relax and say, this church, I know there's trouble over there and there's trouble over here, but this church is doing pretty good. We're okay. No, no, no. Get off the roof, David. Get your eyes back in the game. Come on, David. It's time to go to war. It's time to strap on your sword. It's time to break out that garment of praise one more time. It's time to break out the prayer one more time. Come on, David. Come on, Samson. Shake yourself. Don't let Delilah rock you to sleep while she cuts your hair. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself. It's time to go to war. There's people that need deliverance. Come on, Abraham. Keep the standard high. Keep the influence out. Don't you let anything sneak in here. Might sound like I'm looking for extra points. But I'm not looking for extra points. But I watched my father-in-law. Seems like the last couple months. I don't know if he's thought about it and done it on purpose. But he's kicking up the praise. He's kicking up the worship. He's getting a little more aggressive. I'm watching him. He's coming to church like he always has, but he's got his war cry on. That's what I need. I need an elder in my life that I can watch. He's killed his giant already. He's killed some Philistines already. But he comes to the house of God with his war clothes on. And he comes to the house of God with his war cry on. Sister Riggs, I watched you. She'd be up at the church all the time praying. Come in the middle of the day. Come in the weekday. Come at night. She's praying. Well, Brother Jeff comes to church. Plugs in. There's a whole lot of people who, when that happened, would have said, you know what? Killed my giant. I'm staying home today. And I kind of thought she would. But you know what? Pulled up at the church next week. Little gray Ford, I think it is, parked out front. Oh, Lord. She's in there praying. Well, Brother Jeff must not be doing good or something. Next service, said Brother Jeff ran the aisles not too long ago. I pull up in the middle of the day. There's a little car out front. Sister Riggs is in the house. Sister Riggs is praying. You know why? She's got a shaman spirit on her. She says, oh, maybe I got a need answered. But this is war. This is battle. I can't kick back. I can't relax just because I got my need. I can't kick back and relax just because my husband is in the house. There's other women who need their husbands in the house. There's men that need their wives in the house. There's war. There is war to be done in this city. David, get off the roof. Samson, shake yourself. Abraham, keep the standard high. And I'm preaching to my elders. I understand that. I'm okay with it. It's not me. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is doing. And the Holy Ghost says, this church is going on the offensive. And this church, oh, we're in spiritual warfare all the time. Believe you me, you know it. We're always battling. We're always warring. But this church is about to start going on the offensive more so than it has in a while. We're not doing this. We're starting to come on. So hear me. When we start coming on, it might not be as much pressure. God might bless you with a whole lot of finances. But stay on your knees. Stay in prayer. Stay off the rooftop, David. Stay out of Bathsheba's lap. You were prayed up, Adrian. When you didn't know how you were going to eat. You were prayed up, I guarantee it. You know what? But things are going good now. Got a little money. Got things working out. But he's up on the platform in the pulpit with fire in his eyes, with anointing on him. You can tell he's been with Jesus. Because he didn't go up on the rooftop. And he didn't relax. It's a war cry in the house. David, get off the rooftop. It's time to go to battle. Samson, shake yourself. It's time to go to battle. Abraham, keep the standard high. Don't let the influence in. So tonight, I just need some elders. I need some youngers. I need some in the middles. I need somebody to just get in the mind frame. Just get your war clothes on. Just get your war attitude on. Tell God, I'm going to be in prayer, Lord. I might have been chilling on the roof a little bit, but I'm coming down. I need somebody to get an apostolic attitude in the house tonight. We're going to battle. Come on, David. We need you. We're going to battle. Come on, Samson. We need you. We're going to battle, Abraham. We need your covering.
We declare war.
We declare war against the enemy.
Against the enemy.
He is defeated, Satan.
All you do is under happy air.
We cannot lose with the Lord on our
no,
side.
No, no, Satan, this is it.
We're tired of taking it.
Tired of taking it, yeah.
Satan, we declare war.
We declare war.
We declare war against the enemy.
Against the enemy.
He is defeated, Satan.
All you do is under happy air.
Satan, this is it. We're tired of taking
it. Tired of taking it, yeah.
Satan, we declare war.
Oh, he is defeated.
He is defeated. The devil is defeated.
How many know the devil's defeated? Come
he
on.
He is defeated. The devil is defeated.
He is defeated.
He is defeated. The devil is defeated.
He is defeated.
He is defeated. The devil
how many's
is
got
defeated.
The victory? Come on.
I've got the victory. I've got the victory.
I've got the victory.
I've got the victory. I've got the
come on and give God praise. Come
I've
on.
I've got the victory. I've got the victory.
I've got the victory.
I've got the victory. I've got the victory.
Oh, get ready, storm.
Storm, 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 storm on the level.
Come on and storm.
Storm, 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 storm.
Just for a second, real quick. With no singing, somebody make a declaration. We're going to send up a war cry from this house tonight that says, God, I'm refocusing. I'm coming down off the roof. I'm shaking myself. I'm stealing Delilah. You can't have my thoughts anymore. Influence, I'm cutting you off tonight with determination,
hallelujah,
with fervor. Let there be a war cry. That goes up from the house tonight. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Satan, this is it. We're tired of taking it.